that describes to us Jesus Christ, that we may know him. Because if we don't have the right doctrine, we don't know him. That's what the scriptures themselves teach. It's not my philosophy. It's the teaching of the Bible. See, that's the thing. Wisdom doesn't make sense of that. Well, what? If you got to believe in the guy, you just believe in the guy. I mean, if you get the doctrine a little bit right or a little bit wrong, I mean, what's the big deal? As long as you get it 90% right, that's the wisdom of man. That's pretty good. But according to the scriptures and according to God, no, you must have the correct doctrine. Sound doctrine. Unleavened doctrine. Pure. We must know Jesus Christ in the pureness of his doctrine and the doctrine of the men he appointed personally, meaning the apostles. Anyone after that, I do not accept, at least as far as inasmuch as they begin to go astray from the scriptures, or they begin to say things beyond that which the apostles or Jesus wrote. Meaning, if they're affirming the things of the scriptures and reiterating the things of the scriptures and saying things that are akin to the scriptures, the way I speak, then I count them my brethren. But all those who came after them, who do not speak as they spoke, precisely, I do not accept. In fact, there's every reason in the scriptures to reject them. So again, don't let this word oversimplify the idea to you to the point where you forget that it is not just any Jesus. It is the Jesus as precisely described in the New Testament. That Jesus and him crucified. Not the Jesus of the Baptists crucified. Not the Jesus of the Lutherans crucified. Not the Jesus of the Catholics crucified. But the Jesus Christ of truth crucified. That's the one Jesus that Paul was talking about. And that's the only one I'm interested in. Verse 9. And I was with you in weakness or feebleness. This is my note that I wrote down. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's a very simple idea. I didn't come to you with a bunch of words and philosophies. Philosophy of religion. The philosophy of this denomination. The philosophy of that denomination. I come to you, and I come in the same spirit as far as I'm concerned. Demonstration of the Spirit. Demonstration being apodesis, manifestation. It means to show off or exhibit something. That's the root of the word. I made an exhibition of the Spirit and of power. Paul had the Spirit of God. He could speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You know, again, anyone can make all kinds of nonsense come out of their mouth. But who can speak by the Spirit of God in other tongues? It's like only those whom God gives it. You know, and God can testify of that. You know, it's one thing for someone to just mock it and just imitate it. But you don't understand, when God causes it, he can also make it that people who do not understand our language would understand tongues. Just as they did on Pentecost Day. Again, where's the wisdom in that whole thing? Speaking in tongues. Where's the whole wisdom in all that, but in of power. Now, the power that interests me is the power that when the Spirit of God enters into you, it enables you to overcome sin. That's power. The power of God unto righteousness. The power of God unto holiness. To them, he gave power to become the sons of God. How do you become the sons of God? You gotta have the power. And it is the power to change your life. Not for you to change, but that God changes it. And also there can be miraculous power shown in signs. I don't know that that's the power he came in, though. He came in the power with the Spirit being poured out on people who would believe. He'd be preaching the gospel and they receive the Spirit. I think when he talked to the Galatians, he said, you know, received ye by the Spirit, by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? It is by the hearing of the promises in which we have faith in, of the gospel, the promises of the gospel. When we have faith in those, that's the power of God to salvation. And we can exhibit of a godly life. That is an important thing. That we could live godly, righteously, and soberly in this present world. The New Testament reiterates that over and over and over again. Let the elders have a good report of them that are without. You know, they've got to be blameless. All these things. How do you get to be like that? How do you have a perfect heart? Now, not anyone can see a perfect heart, but at least you got to have perfect outward behavior. And those who are in Christ are seeking perfection in every way. At least in every way that's necessary. Obviously, you know, like I said, I say often, I don't mean perfect in the sense of, you know, I never need to, you know, shave again, or let's say I never trip and stumble over a brick on the ground, or a piece of, or put my foot in a hole. You know, I don't mean that sort of, you know, I don't mean perfect in every way, but I mean in every way perfect into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, meaning coming up so that we reflect his image in a way that is satisfying to God perfectly. Yeah, not necessarily with the you know, the way our hair is, or I mean I can't be a carnally of the flesh nature. I can't be a Jew, and I can't, and there are other things I just won't do. I won't put on. I think I've got rayon and cotton on. I don't know. I don't think that would be acceptable in the Old Testament law. But Jesus wore only fabrics of one sort because he was made a Jew under the law. And perfect under the law. But he ordained a greater law, a more powerful law. Where he said, your righteousness has to exceed theirs to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So he started closing all the loopholes. You know, you've heard it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but whoever looks on a woman to lust after has committed adultery with her already. He made it harder for man. But for God, this is no harder than before. It just makes it, what it is it makes us depend more on God for the power. It's like, well, who can do that? Again, there are some who have strength to do that. There are very, I'm sure about five,